In the time that we have now before Maariv, I want to reflect with you on one of the more troubling aspects of Tisha B'Av, which is the yontiv dimension of Tisha B'Av. Kara alai mo'ed lishbar b'churoi. The fact is that Tisha B'Av is considered a yontiv on some level, and for this reason, we just finished Mincha and we did not say Tachanun during Mincha, because Tisha B'Av is a yontiv. But that seems to go against like all the emotions of Tisha B'Av. It seems to contradict everything. What does it mean that Tisha B'Av is a yontiv? So of course, some explain that when we speak about Moed, when we speak about a yontiv, we don't really mean that it is a time of joy. Rather, Moed might just mean a designated time. And Kara alai Moed is that Tisha B'Av is a time of sadness. It's a designated time of sadness. And that's why it's called Moed. The fact that we don't say Tachanun perhaps comes from a different approach. The Gemara in Bava Metzia tells us that one of the Tanoim used to always fall Tachanun after he said Shmona Esrei. And they were very worried. But in the Tana, Rebbe Eliezer is in Cherem, they're very worried he would say Tachnun and he would end up hurting everyone who put him in Cherem. So therefore, the Chachomim didn't allow him to say Tachnun. You see that Tachanun is an opportunity to have our tefillos accepted. And one could argue that on Tisha B'Av, when we said Sakosa Ba'anon Loch Me Avor Tefillah, that Tisha B'Av is a time that tefillos don't penetrate, that there's a cloud, so to speak, that blocks our prayers from being answered. So maybe the reason why we don't say Tachnun on Tisha B'Av is not so much because it's a yontiv in the sense of a joyous day, but perhaps Tisha B'Av is a time when tefillos are not accepted, and maybe that is why, we don't recite Tachnun. Nonetheless, I'd like to focus on the more standard approach, the approach that Tisha B'Av, to a limited extent, is considered a yontiv. It's considered a time of joy. They say in the name of the Kotzker that Mishenichnas Av Mematim B'Simcha, when the month of Av comes in, we reduce our amount of joy. Zuck the Kotzker, what that means is that our normal equilibrium should be joy. Normally, we should be happy. In Av, we're a little bit sadder. And according to the Kotzker, effectively, even on Tisha B'Av, there's a degree of joy that we can experience. Hard to know exactly what this means. The Magen Avraham is against us. The Magen Avraham understands that Mishenich Nesav Mematim B'Simcha Zot the Magen Avraham Kolomar Ein Smeichem Bo Klal. They were not happy at all. But this idea of the Kotzker seems to be the simple understanding of the Mishnah in Tainis. And what does it mean that Tisha B'Av is a time of joy? So the standard explanation that's given, I was talking to my kids this afternoon as we're getting into the elevator to go to leave our apartment and to go downstairs and eventually to come to Shul. And my daughter pointed out, she said, oh yeah, Tisha B'Av is happy because in the future it will be a happy day. And that's actually a correct explanation. That's one of the explanations that we'll give. That the joy on Tisha B'Av, in particular after Chatzos Hayom, there's a degree of joy because we're focused on the future. The pasuk in Zechariah says, "Ko amar Hashem tzvakos, tzom harvi'i, tzom hachamishi, tzom hashvi'i, tzom hasiri, yiyu leveis Yehuda l'sason l'simcha ulemoadim tovim." That these days, right, tzom harvi'i is Shivas Batama, tzom hachamishi is today, is Tisha B'Av, yiyu leveis Yisrael, they will be a time of sason l'simcha moadim tovim, will be a time of joy. And la'asid lavo, we will rejoice. And after Chatzos Hayom on Tisha B'Av, we're already focused not so much on the past, we're focused on the future. And part of our focus on the future is saying, you know what, eventually Tisha B'Av is going to be a happy day. This point is reinforced by the Medrash in Eicha Rabbosi, where the Medrash, it's in Aleph Nun Aleph, the Medrash discusses how the day of Churban HaBayis, there is a fellow who's walking with his ox outside, and his ox starts acting up, starts like making some noise. And a certain Arab who understood ox language passes by, and the Arab says to him, again, I don't know what it means that there's an Arab at the time of Churban HaBayis. You have to deal with that issue on your own. But this person passes by and says to him, tell me, are you Jewish? So he said, yeah. So he says, oh, I understand what your ox is saying is that the Beis HaMikdash was just destroyed. So this fellow is like all distraught. He feels terrible. He's like, you know what? The Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. I should like not do work anymore. I should sell my ox. Like, what's the purpose in life? What's the purpose of work without a Beis HaMikdash? So then 2 minutes later, the ox starts acting up again. And this fellow says to him, he says, you know what? Your ox is saying, don't go so quickly and sell everything that you own because Mashiach was just born. And the Medrash then in Eicha discusses how we have a tradition that Mashiach is born on Tisha B'Av itself. The Medrash speaks about this fellow. He went and he was in business and he sold clothing for a baby who was going to be born that day because he knows that that baby is going to be Mashiach. And then he gives the clothing to the baby. Eventually some cloud comes and takes that baby away. But that baby is the Mashiach. That baby was born not just on Tisha B'Av, but on the same Tisha B'Av as the Churban. And then the Medrash in Eicha continues to have an elaborate discussion very similar to what the Gemara in Sanhedrin has about what's the name of Mashiach. And there's a number of possibilities. It's actually the Rosh Tevos of Mashiach. Mashiach is Menachem, Shiloh, Yinon, Chanina, right? And those are some of the names of Mashiach. The Gemara has other names of Mashiach. But the idea that Mashiach is born on Tisha B'Av is actually reflected in the minhag that many people have, that Tisha B'Av after Chatzos, you sweep the house. You clean up. You start making everything nice because Mashiach is coming. That's our belief. So one explanation for the Yontiv of Tisha B'Av, the Kara Alai Moed, might be that it's focused on the future. It's focused on Mashiach that we believe is going to come, B'mhera B'Yameinu. However, I believe that there are other ways of analyzing the joy of Tisha B'Av. Not that it's focused on the future, but even when we focus on current events, even when we focus on the present and the past, still there's a degree of joy. Chazal say in the present tense, Kol Mis'aber al Yerushalayim, Zoche v'ro'e b'simchasa. If a person mourns properly for Yerushalayim, so he or she, Zoche v'ro'e b'simchasa, sees the joy of Yerushalayim right now. It's not that you will see it, but you already see it. And one of the explanations that's given, and Rav Soloveitchik actually has this in his drasha that's printed in this book, The Lord is Righteous in All His Ways, Reflections on Tisha B'Av Kinos by Rabbi Soloveitchik. The Rav develops the idea that Zocheh V'Ro'eh B'Simchasa means that the fact that Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim and the Makom HaMikdash was never rebuilt until Klal Yisrael got back there. That itself is a degree of simcha. The Rav quotes from his grandfather, from Rabbi Yosha Ber, from the Beis Halevi, then the pasuk that says in the Tolchacha, Vashimosi ani es ha'aretz v'shamo aleha kol ha'yoshvim ba, that the idea is that Kol Zman, the entire time that the Jewish people are not living in Eretz Yisrael, the country is going to be desolate. And we see this in history, no? The Romans were very good at building, and they built a few cities in Eretz Yisrael, but largely the country was desolate. After the Romans, you have the Byzantines, the Crusades. They so wanted to conquer Yerushalayim, but how much did they build in Yerushalayim? The country was largely desolate. It was largely desolate. Only afterwards, after Klal Yisrael comes back with the Nisim, so then the country gets rebuilt. Because that's the fulfillment of the Tolchacha. Vashimosi ani as ha'aretz, I'll destroy the land, v'shamo alaha ha'goyim ha'yoshvim ba. And all those that live there will suffer desolation. And says Rav Soloveitchik, maybe that's part of the joy. Maybe the joy on Tisha B'Av is that you look at Eretz Yisrael and you see that Eretz Yisrael was not rebuilt so long that all of these nations had it. And that gives us joy because that means that the land is waiting for us. And now we look at the land and we see that it's Baruch Hashem blooming. And that's our part of the land, no? The green line is still the green line. Over, you look at the Arab land, it's not nearly as vibrant. It's not nearly, the produce doesn't grow as much. It's not nearly as beautiful. That's the kiyum of the pasuk. And when we look at the land and we see that those parts of Eretz Israel where the Jews are not there, it's still desolate. On a certain level, that is Zochevir or Ebesim Chasa. Then we see, then we can have joy right now because we realize that the land is waiting for us. This, of course, is the idea that the Gemara, the end of Makos, speaks about how the Tanoim are going up to Yerushalayim, they're going up to the Makom HaMikdash, and they see a Shu'al, they see a fox that leaves me base kodesh HaKodashim, and all the Tanoim are crying, they're all saying, oi, oi Yizmir, what's going on? It's so terrible. Shu'alim Hilchubo, as the Pasuk says. But Rabbi Akiva's laughing. Rabbi Akiva says, now that I see that this Nevuah is fulfilled, I know that the other Nevuah of Zechariah is going to be fulfilled. The Nevuah of Od Yeshu Zekeinu Zekeinas B'chorvos Yerushalayim, that the city will be teeming with people, that will be full. It will be a place that's vibrant, that is Misos Kol Ha'aretz. I know that's going to happen. That's what the Gemara says at the end of Makkos. And this story of Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva takes joy out of Shu'olim Hilchubo. And Rav Soloveitchik commented, Shu'olim Hilchubo, it's written in the Lashon of P.L. Hilchum, that means that the foxes cause other foxes to go there, meaning that the foxes realized that this is an area that is desolate and will remain desolate, because animals don't tend to live in places where humans will inhabit. Shu'alem Hilchubo, the foxes are going there, recognizing that this is going to be a place that will be desolate for a long time, because Klal Yisrael is not here. And that brings solace to Rabbi Akiva. Akiva Nichamtanu, Akiva Nichamtanu, the Nechama that Rabbi Akiva takes is the fact that it's desolate. He looks at it and he sees that the land without Klal Yisrael is barren. That means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting for us to return. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting for us to do tshuva, to give it back to us. And then the land will once again be the land that has all the brachos that the Psukim and Chumash mention. So that's a second explanation. That Tisha B'Av is a time of joy because we see the desolation, and that itself brings joy. But there's a third explanation. Rav Soloveitchik focused on this, and others focus on this as well. The third explanation as to why Tisha B'Av is a time of joy is because of Tosfos in Kedushin and Daf Lamed Aleph. The Pasuk writes, Mizmor la'asaf Elohim bom goy b'nachlosecha timos har kodshecha samos Yerushalayim la'iyim. And Tosfos quotes from the Medrash that they ask a question, Mizmor la'asaf, why is Asaf singing? It should be a dirge, because Elokim bo goyim b'nach losecha, because the goyim are coming in. Timos hecha kodshecha, somas Yerushalayim le'iyim, that they are entering Yerushalayim, it's not ours. Why is Asaf happy? Zok Tosfos, quoting from the Midrashim, that no, the reason why it's Mizmar l'Asaf is because Kila Hashem escha moso al etzim va'avonim, Vina on us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have destroyed the people. We sinned so much. We did such terrible averis by Yisrishon Gilei Arayis Avodah Zorah Shvichas Damim Shalolamdu b'Torah l'shma, the Gemara Nedarim says. In Bayesheni, we did averis of sinas chinam. The Gemara in Shabbos Kufyates has such a lengthy list of averis that we did that caused korban habayis. Such terrible averis that caused the korban. So we deserve to die. We deserve to be destroyed. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu had rachmanus on us. Kila Hashem eschamoso al eitzim al avonim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed a building. He didn't destroy us. And that's a reason for Simcha and Tisha B'Av. Because we should have been destroyed. We did such averis, we should have been killed. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu berachem of Harabim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed a Beis HaMikdash. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that we see this idea in the kinnis in a few places. One of the kinnis that we recite is L'cha Hashem Atzdaka. And usually L'cha Hashem Atzdaka is about all the good things that the Ribbono Shel Olam did for us. But the last line in that kinna is L'cha Hashem Atzdaka that you took the two Batei Mikdash from us. L'cha Hashem Atzdaka. You took the Batei Mikdash, that's why we're mourning. But the Teretz is no! L'cha Hashem Hatzdaka. There's something good about it. The Medrash writes that's called a Mishkan because HaKadosh Baruch Hu mashkin it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took it as collateral rather than taking it away from us. There's another kinna. We didn't recite this kinna, but it's a kinna from Rebbe Lazar HaKalir. And the kinna basically says, the kinna says, it's in Eicha Yoshva Chavatzelas HaSharon, HaKalia writes, Yado Paras Tzor Bebeis Zavul. The enemy reached his hand and destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Ki Kila Chovaso Kedar HaMabol. Ki Kloya Chuyavti, excuse me, Ki Kloya Chuyavti Kedar HaMabol. Because I should have been destroyed like the Dar HaMabol. We should have been destroyed. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu had rachmanis on us. And we weren't. And that's why Tisha B'Av after Chatzos, we start to focus on the fact that, listen, Mayisonein Adam Chai, L'maisa, we're alive. And despite the Chorban Habayis, we have what to be happy about. And that is the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not destroy us. You know, it's interesting. The Gaonim, there's a tshuva of Rav Haigon, where Rav Haigon was asked, right, you would love this one. He was asked, let's say Mixas Hayom Kekulo on Tisha B'Av. We know that on Avelos, on the last day of Shiva, you get up first thing in the morning. You don't keep a full day of Shiva. So Rav Hai was asked, maybe we should say Mixas Hayom Kekulo on Tisha B'Av. Right, this would be awesome, no? And you only keep the morning, and then you're done. So Rav Hai says, no, you can't do that. Because the real Tisha B'Av is now. The real Tisha B'Av is after Chatzos. Because that's when the Beis HaMikdash was really burnt, no? The Beis HaMikdash was burnt after Chatzos. So if that's the case, how come after Chatzos we're happy? How come after Chatzos, I should say, we're happier? We wear tefillin, we say tiskabel. Why do we do that after Chatzos if that should be the real time of Avelos? The answer is that before Chatzos, we're in a very precarious situation. Before Chatzos, the Ribbono Shel Olam is deciding, should I destroy the people or should I destroy the Beis HaMikdash? What should go? And it's a time, it's Ke'ilu, the Rav pointed out, it's like right before we cross the Yamsuf, and Bahamayim Lahem Choma, Choma is spelled Blivav, it's spelled without a vav, chema, the waters are angry, the waters are saying, I should destroy these people. Halalu Avdei Avodah Zarah, Halalu Avdei Avodah Zarah. You want to destroy the Egyptians, you want to destroy the Jews, they're both of the Avodah Zarah. It's a time of danger. There's din going on until Chatzos. But after Chatzos, when the building is burned, so then we can get up from the floor, we can sit on a normal chair. After Chatzos. Because after Chatzos on Tisha B'Av, we realize that L'mais HaKadosh Baruch Hu did us a favor by destroying the Mikdash rather than destroying us. We really should have died. Our responsibility, of course, is to take the life that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. Ma Yisoneinu Dom Chai Gever HaChata'ov. We have to control ourselves. We have to overpower our urges to sin. We have to look at our paths, investigate it seriously, do teshuvah. We have an opportunity. You go through an entire Tisha B'Av. You go through a day and you're crying about Chorban Beis HaMikdash, and we're crying about the fact that any dar that doesn't rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, that it's like it's destroyed in their time, and that's true, and our sins are responsible for the continuing destruction. But of course, we're happy that we're still alive. We're happy that Kadosh Baruch Hu had Rachmanis on us, and we have to use this opportunity now to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to take the lessons that we focused on today, the lessons of doing chesed, helping each other, the lessons of studying Torah, the lessons of feeling an attachment to Eretz Yisrael. This is what Tisha B'Av should teach us. Tisha B'Av should teach us that nachbis adrachinu v'nachkora, the fact that we are able to be alive, HaKadosh Baruch had Rachmanis on us, and He just wants us to do that bit of tshuva, to return to Him, so that the Beis HaMikdash can be rebuilt, and we as a people, as Klal Yisrael, can assume our rightful place in history. Thank you for listening.